Movement is a language, our first language. Non-verbal and movement communication begins in utero and continues throughout the lifespan. Dance therapists believe that non-verbal language is as important as verbal language and use both forms of communication in the therapeutic process. I'm Katerina Badzaiki. Welcome to the Infantly Curious program of ERT and the Voice of Greece. Today, we will explore the anthropology and therapy of dance. We will see how mind, body, and spirit are interconnected through dancing. The earliest historical records showing the origins of dance are cave paintings in India, dating to about 8000 BC. Egyptian tomb paintings also depict dance in about 3300 BC. These early dances may have been religious in nature, and by the era of ancient Greece, people were incorporating dance into celebrations of the wine god Dionysos, and later the Roman god Vacchus, and into ritual dances at the ancient Greek Olympic Games. In addition, early people danced for enjoyment, seduction, and entertainment. As early as in the 1940s, some early innovators, many of whom were accomplished dancers, began to realize the benefit of using dance and movement as a form of psychotherapy. It is a holistic approach to healing based on the empirically supported assertion that mind, body, and spirit are inseparable and interconnected. Changes in the body reflect changes in the mind and vice versa. Movement can be functional, communicative, developmental, and expressive. Dance movement therapists observe, assess, and intervene by looking at movement through these lenses as it emerges in the therapeutic relationship in the therapeutic session. Using these premises to guide their work, dance movement therapists use body movement, the core component of dance, as the primary inroad to their psychotherapeutic work. Dancing is natural and instinctive. It is widespread across different species of animals in the form of mating dances. For humans, babies dance instinctively when they hear music. A form of freedom dancing that is very instinctive is ecstatic dance. It is there where dancing is an environment without observers, judgments, attitudes, talking, shoes, alcohol, or smoking. A space where everyone can feel spontaneously safe to try new things and push their edges. This is the dance you dance when nobody is watching, where your primal instincts and cultural norms are activated. A world of ecstatic movements, freedom, unity, and unconditional love.
When there is only dancing and no dancer, it is the ultimate of meditation. Ecstasy. Freedom. Freedom from the ego. Freedom from the doer.
The meaning of ecstatic dance is hard to be explained in one or two words. So I will try to use words like transformation, transcendence, love, connection, insanity, a lot of insanity. People go crazy. Expression, feelings, and a million of words I may use, but they lead to the same thing. It is a unique experience. Sentimientos y un millón de palabras que podría utilizar, pero llevan a la misma cosa. Es una experiencia única.
Y es como te están guiando.
And it is like you are guided to another world. It is helping you open doors, windows, in order to see something that you have never seen, ecstatic dance. And it is like you are guided to another world. It is helping you open doors, windows, in order to see something. If you have never seen ecstatic dance, you would never know what it is.
And when there is no ego, no doer, and the dance is going on, and there is no dancer, a great witnessing arises. You are watching it. You are seeing it happen. You are not the doer. It is happening on its own. When the ego is no more there, God immediately enters and takes possession of you.
The purpose of ecstatic dance is giving a safe space for people to explore themselves. For me, dancing is moving meditation. So by being completely and fully present in my body, this actually is the gateway for myself to also go outside of my body. But that happens by only being 100% present with yourself. It's not just a dance anymore. It's an expression of yourself and all of the emotions and everything you feel. And there's always something new. So when you just let it flow and you surrender to the whole experience, then your body is just gonna move.
Playing in ecstatic music is all about setting up the intention and setting up the journey. It's about like using the music to as a tool to trigger emotions and being able to release them, being able to let them out in totality. Emotion, feeling, sadness, sorrow, ecstasy, joy, sensuality, sexuality, everything should come out during an ecstatic journey. And sometimes I'm simply amazed to see the reaction of people in front of me. The way they dance, in the way they let go, in the way they completely lose themselves, I'm simply amazed, I have to say, I'm astonished.
In aesthetic dance, you've got the freedom to do whatever you want to do. So if you want to play like a dog, or you want to be a monkey, or just roll around on the floor and pretend you're a lizard, you can actually do that and just be a child again.
It is a celebration. People dance, people have fun, but there is neither alcohol nor drugs. I never saw anyone taking anything. But when you see people dancing and you see people do something, it does seem like they have taken all kinds of drugs. It is crazy.
There is no judgment of what is going on around, so that people can really feel free. And everything is welcome. As far as we are able to respect each other's people's space, then there is no limitation.
The entire universe exists.
The body is like synchronized with the other one, and you just feel them. Two bodies moving just become one wave of movement, really. And when we just surrender and don't think about what it may look like or what you want the movement to be, that's when the magic really happens.
We are never. We are always connected.
Can really shift your perception of dance, of how you interact with people.
There is no separation.
Honestly, I believe that in a good ecstatic journey, at the end, people are really refreshed, energized, clean, pure, and why not full of love.
We are one unified field.
Te va a ayudar a cambiar y a expandir.
It will help you to change and expand your horizon in physical terms of movement, of expression, of connecting as human beings. If you do it frequently, it will help you change your life.
Te va a ayudar a cambiar tu vida.
And we move as one.
Es una experiencia que puedes.
It is an experience you can make millions of times, and every time with an open mind, with open heart, you can receive magic.
Magia.
Anthropology can be defined in many ways, but it is essentially the study of humankind. That is, trying to understand why people do what they do and believe what they believe in discrete contexts, and how they find and make meaning. The anthropology of dance is the exploration of the significance and impact of dance or structured movement systems in cultural context, including consideration of the very movement and movement qualities themselves. For example, in refugee camp in Thailand, surrounded by barbed wire and armed guards, and in at least one direction, landmines, the Cambodian refugees in the camp, of their own accord, constructed performing arts centers. Thousands would gather and watch their fellow refugees perform. Beyond entertaining the crowds, the artists created focus and beauty in the midst of loss and inhumanity. Cambodian dance was one way to claim a connection to a shared history and community, as well as to reaffirm dignity. Perhaps it was also a way to care for one another. Going back to our roots appears to be vital, no matter where we are. Some of Raquel Pacheco's favorite childhood memories are of family trips to Mexico City. The relatives they visited there were deeply religious and, as the cultural anthropologist recalled, not especially into partying. But I remember that when they would play cumbia, they would bust out dancing, she said. It got them on their feet. That was the only music they would get up to dance to. So cumbia was always being part of our family's gatherings. While traditionally thought of as poor people's music, Pacheco said that at least in Mexico, cumbia is now making inroads into the middle and upper classes. It connects disparate Latin communities around the world. It has only very recently started to break through to the dance scenes in cities like Berlin and London. But it is not only Latin Americans that love going back to their roots with dancing. American Greeks, too, try hard to pass on the tradition, music and culture to the next generations that follow. The preparations for the 2024 Hellenic Dance Festival in Orlando, Florida, at the Caribe Raya Resort, are in full swing. Associate Professor of Primary Greek Folk Education and Laography at the University of Ioannina in Greece, Christos Papakostas, explains the anthropology of dance and why it is so essential for human beings to return to their roots.
A branch of anthropology is the one that focus on the dance phenomena, dance cultures, dance habits, and also dance as a phenomenon, not only in the past, in the present, and in the present. Because dance is a verbal and non-verbal and outside verbal communication, mode of communication, so we can see a local society through dance and the opposite, because dance is a process and a product at the same time, and because it implies different aspects of a local culture, and the medium is the body, so it's the best way in a sense to transcend the Cartesian dualism between the mind and the body.
Is it only about dancing, or is it also about telling a story using your body?
This is maybe another view of the same coin. I mean, we tell stories through dancing, but complicated outside the linguistic structures. We tell stories from the culture. We tell stories for society. We tell stories about a group of people. But the conditions of our narration is different. Because movement is the main medium. Not only, but it's the main medium.
Why do people meet and dance together, you think?
Why? It's, first of all, most of the forms of the non-theatrical, let's say, dance, in general form, traditional social dance, brings people together. It breaks everybody's life routine. it is always present in very important moments in a human's life, in the circle of life, in rituals. So communicate, entertain, negotiate a group's identity, the individual's identity, through the social identity. So it is multifactorial.
Specific dances depict specific aspects of a community's way of life.
Actually, yes, and it is not that just a reflection of the social reality. It's much more than that. For instance, we have wedding dances for the bride, for the groom, for the guest, for the best man, for the kubar, or whatever. It's always it's a negotiation between the individual and the social. The individual presents himself in a greater audience, and through that, not only the process and how dance functions, but the process of how a local society, a local culture, a group of people negotiate the conditions and associations of its existence.
How does the environment or the climate affect the way we dance?
It's a very typical, question, but okay, I'd like to exaggerate, but let me make a question in turn. How natural is nature? I mean, dance is a medium that, yes, of course, it's always in relation and in a constant debate with the historical, the social, the cultural, economic context and the environment. But I'm not talking about the metaphysics, but looks like that because the people come from mountains. It's always a constant negotiation between the environment sources and the historical context of a group of people.
There is a tendency of a community that has moved from one place to another to recreate a certain dancing or culture that they were used to carrying out when they were back home. Why do you think there's such a need?
I like to use the term of Yorgos Anagnostou, the great Greek scholar, who writes about the Greek diaspora, and he uses it for the past. So it's getting our cultural background, cargo, not the biological terms, though. So when we switch going to another context, like diaspora or immigration, migration, or refugees, so the group and the division should make crucial decisions. So it's not given that it will be easy to present your own dance culture in a greater audience, different than your own country or the cultural environment. So sometimes we should make some dances hidden in order to get a better position in the dominant society. It's quite complicated. It looks very natural and romantic to present my own dances in a dominant society, diasporic context, but it is not so easy on time. Because there is this negotiation, this debate between the dominant society, the other ethnic groups that coexist in a national state. So it's everything about the historical context, the moment that dancing takes place.
What changes do you see when an ethnic group incorporates its culture, its dancing, into a new environment?
There are many, many dance cultures that actually make visible whole all ethnic groups, like Americans in the States, Croatians in the States, even the diaspora in the United Kingdom. But changes is in the hardcore of the cultural phenomenon. We usually in discourse, especially in offense and in journalistic discourse, the advertising discourse, about all of the dances and how old they are and how of the law of the past. That's wrong, that's the past. For instance, we have a great category in the Greek traditional communities, Evropaika, the European ones, like polka, tango, waltz. They used to dance it from Latin centuries. And they embrace that idea, they incorporate in the repertoire, they define themselves in our dances and the European dances, but these dances, the European dances, are an actual part of the glendia, of the social festivals, of the gatherings, of the family gatherings. So, no, when I talk about anthropological dance, always we try to show the dynamics of the phenomenon and not put that phenomenon in very fixed categories like traditional, not traditional, Greek, non-Greek, and so on.
You mean, for example, a Greek who dances flamenco in Greece and becomes a very good dancer and a passionate dancer about it?
Okay, this is was my next point. You know, I'm talking about very certain European, but talking about flamenco, I think we should do this through the lenses of the political economy of dance. We have communities like the social that bring in the proscenium the social history of some dance like tango and the flamenco you mentioned before, but through the political economy, we should debate why some dance forms are very well known and popular all over the world. Dynamics is the steps itself, or is something else? And also because dance is a part of the phenomenon of modernity and contemporaneity, that always needs for a new material. So as we have different products come from advertising or products for consuming, dance is one of them. We have cultural products that people consume in a way all over the world. Which is the siptaki in the Greek cave.
And the siptaki is a very popular dance that is danced all around the world. It's very famous.
Yes, but the social history is another thing. Before Zorba the Greek, we didn't have that term of siptaki. Never. Dance was a typical habit. And after the success and promotion of this movie, this dance was very popular across the globe. And after that, we have all the typical, was part of the typical touristic stereotypes about Greekness. Like maybe Fusanella, Latina, Tzatziki, Greek Kamaki, and Sitaki was part of this representation.
Now you're organizing a festival every year in the States, which also entails a competition. Can you tell us about this Greek folk festival? Why do so many people take part in it, you think, who are obviously Greek Americans, but I assume that there are other people taking part in it or not?
No, the strange thing, not so strange, if you think, is that the folk dance festival in the West Coast or Hellenic dance festival in the East Coast is only about the Greek. It's something internal. Because the Greek festival, the Greek Tzatzis festival, addresses the wider people of the Greek, of the American in general. And there are huge events. In contrast, that dance competitions address and refer to the Greek American community. The big why? So the first institution was 1974 in San Jose, California. So the first reason I can understand is because California is a huge place. I mean, it's a huge geography. And they were very, very spread out all over California. It was a very good way, very good medium to bring all these communities together. For the same reason, we have many intermarriages back in the 70s. And this bright man, Anthony, back then, with Petropoulos, they had that idea to establish a new institution, a dance competition. a dance competition based on Greek dance with an American twist, with a way through that serves the American dream and the American way of life, for this compete, a dance competition. And also because in California back in 70, but still now, the sense of community comes from the parish, from the church. So it's typical for the parish, organ dance, such as the cathedral. In contrast to what happened in East Coast, which is Rotan, Cretan, hopefully I'm from Zagori and from Carpathos and so on. It's totally different cases. So it was like kind of a practice of resistance, in quotes, of the full assimilation of the Greek American community in 1970.
The younger generation, do you think it continues the tradition or they shy away from it?
Absolutely. I have the great honor to be back and forth in the States for the last 10 years or so, and serving as a judge in these two competitions many times, and I'm amazed. I'm truly amazed because I like so much that institution. This dance competition that makes sense in Greece, but for them it's very important. 6 months a year they work very hard about this event. They work as dancers, as dance directors, as volunteers, as a management team. All of them are volunteers. So they bring people to together, and they create a very nice network within the communities, with the common ground is dance. And I think I'm not exaggerated. I think from my research, because it's been my quality, something about these institutions and this phenomenon, is that it's the biggest in terms of numbers event in the United States, talking about 3,000 people under one roof, and thousands from 6 years old to 56 years old.
Why a dancing competition? Why can't, the younger generation or people who love dancing just gather together and dance without the necessity of carrying out a competition, which can also be stressful or not?
See, what we discussed before, because the context there is very, very strict and very competitive in all aspects of their life, namely of the mouth, the king of the of the ball or whatever. It's very competitive. It's not by chance that I think 10 years ago the FDA did like a gallop, like a poll. What do you think? Do we need the competition or not? 85% answered we need. We like compete. So within society, their cultural context makes sense to do the competition. But after all, always after the competition and the awards, we have like media, workshops, live music events. It's very alive. It's very alive.
For the sake of preparation and for the sake of perfection, do you think that sometimes the soul and the feeling into the dance is somehow sacrificed?
Absolutely. But now this is the great antithesis to our traditional dance culture here. And talking about the Greek troops in Greece, mm-hmm. I suspect, especially in that category, in the oldest, in terms of age group of advanced senior, that 10, 15 years, the performances aim to be more free of a movement, less strict, less very well structured, and keep the spirit of an event, like the joy and the metrics. It's difficult. It's difficult because in our tradition, talking about folk dance, stage form dance in Greece, even now, more or less we follow the terms and the conditions of the underground dance, and more specifically ballet, grace, harmony, the homogenized dancing product. Now the stage, because they are their societies they live, they try to bring, let's say, I mean, in that quotes, the real thing on stage. This is very interesting, much more than interesting.
Last but not least, what do you think is the core principle into making the dance experience a rich and powerful experience?
Experience it fully. I mean, mentally, physically. That's the great thing, the power of dance. It lies in very dynamic way. Our body, but our body is not like bones and meat and blood and cells. All of us, we carry on like a social and personal autobiography. That's why that some, you know, many dances can make us to express ourselves, to tell our stories, and have very, very important educational and psychological impact, especially these days in our very hard times we live.
At this year's Hellenic Greek Festival in Orlando, Florida, Stavros Karagiorgis and Stacey Zambas Perulas make every effort to present a festival with high standards and strict competition rules. Stavros believes that the idea of a competition dance can become the driving force and motivation for young Greek Americans to participate.
Why a Greek folk dance competition and not just gather together once a week, as we sometimes do here in Greece, and then dance Greek traditional dances?
So it's interesting. The competition has actually provided a vehicle to allow people to preserve and pursue greater traditions, as opposed to just being a performance. People have actually, because of the competition, wanting to search for greater and better things, have gone back to Greece and done individual research in villages with instructors like Mr. Babakosa at the University of Ioannina, and other people of that sort, to really perpetuate the actual traditions that we're trying to uphold from the homeland. So the competition has kind of been a vehicle to drive people to a greater search and a greater passion for Greek dance.
How do you prepare this competition?
There's two parts of the preparation. Obviously, for us on the organizational side, we prepare the event and the host or the vehicle for groups to participate. But the most part of the preparation goes from all the individual communities and them putting their work together and teaching their respective students or children whatever they would like to perform. Just to touch back, though, about the competition and why, this is the United States of America, and so sometimes we need a little bit of incentive, especially for our younger people, to get motivated, and that's kind of what the competition has been in many aspects. It's given the younger people the sense of getting an award for something that they're doing, and has given them that drive to continue to uphold our traditions.
Okay, I see. So let's take this step by step. Why is the first competition category called the national quality?
The third category, that basically speaks to the way in which we're upholding the tradition. So it's not as performance-based, but actually presented in an appropriate way that was done in the respective village or region of Greece. So that's why that part of our scoring is so imperative, because it, for us, as we continue to grow this, we've really strived to uphold the traditions as they were. And so by providing that sort of scoring system for our awards, it kind of pushes people to make sure they continue in that approach as opposed to just doing a show.
So give me some examples to get this right.
A small example would be like a group a few years ago from Charlotte, North Carolina, did dances from Evros. And their idea of ethnic quality is they did the Apokriatica traditions from a respective village and presented that as they were presenting their dances. So they added the elements of the esima that they would do on during Apokris into their 15-minute dance show.
So how do you ensure that there is this right ethnic quality elements inside this competition? How do you measure that?
So it is difficult to measure, but we pride ourselves in the type of individuals that we bring to provide critiquing. So we bring a lot of instructors from Greece that have done extensive research throughout throughout Greece, and like Dr. Papakosta is one of those that has come and judged with us several times, as well as people here in the United States. Like I said, it's not an exact science by any means, but by using appropriate and valuable resources and the right critique team, we think that we are trying to provide an accurate scoring and depiction of what's going on.
What do the categories preparation and presentation involve?
So preparation would be their uniformity, the cohesiveness within the group, even from their dress, their costuming, how presentable they appear on stage. And then also with singing, many groups incorporate singing. So that would be their vocal elements that they're incorporating with the live music that many groups also bring. They bring live musicians from Greece as well to perform alongside them during these performances. And then presentation would be obviously the overall show, how it all comes together. Growing up here in America, we grew up definitely within our Greek communities here in the United States, at our dance churches, at our churches with our dance groups, Greek school. Grew up with some immigrant parents. My parents were born in Greece, and their whole goal when they first came to this country was to become American. And for me, this whole thing, the Greek folk dance competition, has kind of instilled in me to try to connect back to my roots. And it's been the vehicle that's provided me the most solace. It's the vehicle that's made me feel most at home within myself, most connected with my true identity, and has provided me countless friendships and memories that I would not take back at any point in time.
Why dancing?
I've always loved dancing. Sure. It's always been something that I've been intrigued by. My grandfather was actually very into Greek dancing as well. He was like the protochoristi of the chorio. So I think post his death, that was also something that kind of intrigued me to want to be a part of that.
Where is your grandfather from? Which part of Greece?
Evrydania.
Mm, okay. So when you said you went back to Greece to research as well and to see how Greeks are dancing, is that right?
Yes, I've been on several research trips myself in Greece, different times of the year, through the summer, winter, up Okrias. I've been through different parts of Greece, and I've used a lot of resources in Greece as people that do have extensive knowledge in dance to provide some of those opportunities or experiences for us. So I don't know how many trips I've done at this point, but it's been quite a few.
When you're dancing, I understand you go back to memories from your roots. And the question is, how important is it going back to your roots and understanding Greece in this way?
For me personally, it's everything, because this is the way that I most identify and connect back with Greece. So, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different memories from growing up here in the United States, but visiting Greece in the summers. I went to Greece every summer with my family for pretty much the entire summer. Spent time in the chorio with my grandparents. So all those memories are also always come back into my mind, but dance has been a vehicle that has allowed me to really fully get a further glimpse of the country, be outside of Evrydania, outside of my chorio, and to see the country wholeheartedly and see all the vast cultural differences and the extensive traditions that are in Greece, and has provided for me many friendships and opportunities to experience things of a lifetime. So those are the memories that really come back to me when I'm dancing, and they provide inspiration and instill the passion.
In the early years, the festival traveled from city to city in the U.S., being held on church campuses with a mission to keep the Greek identity and the beauty of the Hellenic culture alive through folk music and dance. For Stacey, this is more than just the festival. It is another opportunity to bring herself and her children in close contact with their Greek origins.
Stacey, how did you go about learn dancing, and just tell me your personal experience. When was the first time you actually danced Greek dancing?
Like many Greek American kids, I started also in my hometown church. We had an annual Greek festival, so I was probably, let's say, 6 years old when I danced or in an organized way. Of course, before that, there were family weddings and celebrations where I might have danced, you know, in the more natural context. But in terms of learning in an organized setting, I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and we would dance every year for our church festival, and that was kind of putting on a show for the community.
Why is the Greek Orthodox Church so important and so related to Greek dancing?
Yeah, it's honestly where, in the diaspora here, we're so spread out, and it just naturally became the gathering place, not just for religion, but for culture, for many, many Greeks, and that is where the dance developed. It's because it's where we were gathering anyway, and dance was a natural extension of that. So over time, it was our church, the metropolis of Atlanta, in fact, who established the Hellenic Dance Festival, this competition that we're currently organizing for. So it is still under the umbrella of the church, although it is more of a cultural.
Tell me again, where exactly was it that you personally started dancing at the age of six? Which town? What was the name of the town you started dancing?
I was in a town called Newport News, Virginia.
I understand this whole thing started 37 years ago. Is that right, with the Greek dancing festival?
Actually, the Hellenic Dance Festival here in our metropolis began in the year 2000. There is one on the West Coast that's a bit older. I believe it started in 1976. That's probably maybe somewhere in between is where the number you're coming with. But ours did begin in 2000.
What do you think was the reason behind a dance festival and a dance competition, a Hellenic dance competition?
Yes, it was. You know, it was established with the intention of course. Perpetuating the culture and the richness of the dance tradition from Greece, but it also, truthfully, was also a way to bring people together. I mean, again, in terms of just straight geography, we're very spread out here, so this was a way to bring the Greek Americans together with the intention of, again, perpetuating that tradition, but also in a way that brings the family, let's say, the Greek dance family together.
There are specific dances you're dancing. Can you name me some of them?
Oh, sure, but there's so many.
There are so many. No,
As an example, from the community that I currently live in, which is Charlotte, North Carolina, we're bringing 7 groups to HTF, to the Hellenic Dance Festival this year. 7 groups that perform 2 performances each during the duration of that festival. So that's 14 shows. So, as an example, we have a group that's dancing from Megara. We have a group that's dances from Arcadia. We have another group of adults that's dancing from Ikaria. So, it's wide and varied. We actually are very heavy from Thraki this year. We have, I think, 5 groups dancing from different parts, mainly from Evros, but Zonaradika, Karsilama, we have many things. Singatistos.
To get this right, these groups do not come from Greece. These groups are Greek migrants from these particular areas of Greece. Is that right? Who are all coming together from different parts of the states or not?
That's correct. No, and in fact, the vast majority of the participants here, and I'll tell you also just for context, the ages. I mean, we have kids from 4 and 5 years old up through adults, well into their 50s and 60s who dance, so it's, a wide variety of ages. But I will say the vast majority were not born in Greece, are probably second, third, and even beyond generation Greek Americans. Many of them do not have Greek as their native language or even as a learned language. Some of them are learning songs without any context of having spoken Greek in their homes. So this is, it's very special in that way, and it's actually a great responsibility for the directors and the teachers of these groups, because whatever they feed them is what becomes, you know, their context around it. And so that is why the connections for us back to Greece through people like Dr. Papakostas and others, many others, that's why those connections and those relationships are so important, because we do have the responsibility to make sure that these traditions are perpetuated with respect and with detail.
You mentioned earlier that when you were six, you would go to the Orthodox Church, if am I right, and you would learn how to dance there. Is the Greek, American Greek community predominantly religious, or is it just a question of just keeping the tradition and the culture alive?
You know, I'll say that the religion is probably stronger here than abroad, I think. But I also think, and I can't speak to, you know, individual families and what their truly their faith, but I do think the faith is still central here in a very powerful way. And I think the fact that, you know, there is so much that goes on those church grounds outside of the faith really makes it a lifestyle for a lot of these families. I mean, I can speak to our community in Charlotte, which is very large and probably a little bit unique in the sense that the ties are very strong still to Greece. But in our community, we have obviously church, but we have Greek dance, we have sports, we have Greek school, we have, you know, religious education. There's so much. I mean, there's something going on every single day. So the kids really do spend a lot of time on the church grounds, not necessarily in liturgy or in services, but they're there, and it's sort of something that's always underneath and the foundation of what they're doing.
What is your favorite Greek dance and why?
I always say the Karsilama is my favorite because it is it's personal. I think dance is so important because it's a connector to yourself and an expression. So you have a little more freedom to be you, but it also the beauty of it sort of depends on your connection with the person you're dancing with and the movement around each other. And it's not as structured, so I like that quite a bit.
Are there many second-generation Greeks who speak Greek, or is it more difficult once you're a second-generation Greek to learn Greek? And do you think that is also important in understanding the culture and in learning more about Greek dancing and the Greek traditions overall?
It's a great question because it really is probably one of the bigger challenges we have here. I think it's very difficult to keep that piece of the culture going. I mean, language, but it is so central, and it is so, especially the Greek language being so rich, it adds so much. So, I mean, I know for myself as a teacher, when I've taught songs, and I know Stavros and others are like this, we take time to make sure we're not just teaching them these words so that they can sing them and sort of spit them back out, but we explain, we translate, we tell them, you know, give them a context, whether it's about a certain time of year, if it's a specific ethnic, if it's about a celebration of the church. We try to give them as much deep meaning as possible because ultimately that makes their performance more real, and it gives them that connection. You know, we just took a group of 20 kids in the summer, Stavros and I, with a group here from our metropolis. We took a group of 21 kids, teenagers, to Greece to experience those traditions in a very real way. And I think probably all but just a couple had never even been to Greece. So it was very powerful for them to have that experience. And that's something, that trip was sponsored through what we do with this competition. What we look for now is that sort of magic that happens when there is, and it's the same magic that would happen, you know, in the real life setting of dance, right? It's when the group is very cohesive, when they're truly having a good time. I've heard judges say, I wanted to be on stage with them, right? So that part, it can't be measured really, but it's the feeling you get when you watch something. And of course, to me, that probably is the number one thing that gets noticed. And then, of course, you drill down. Okay, are they using the right music for what they're doing? Are they doing the right, let's say, the right in quotes steps? And, you know, did they add by singing if it's appropriate? So all of those things play in, but I think the feeling and the cohesion and that kind of, again, that magic is what's most important.
I'm kind of thinking how important that is, all these culture elements in keeping that memory alive. And personally, for you, how important that has been and that has influenced your life. And maybe, you know, people who are going to follow that path, maybe some of your relatives, I don't know if you have children, or how important that is in keeping the tradition alive.
No, absolutely. And when you first sort of started that line of that question, I did. My thoughts went to my own family mostly. So I do have children. I have 3 children. And one thing that I've tried to do is to pass along, especially at the big holidays. You know, when we talk about dance, we're talking more about the way that communities celebrate, not necessarily the household. But in our house, I've tried very, very hard over the years to keep them. You know, to your point, the specific foods of the holidays and making pastries together before Christmas. And we do all those things, and we've done all those things. And now my oldest is 20. My daughter is almost 21. And I see her already, you know, thinking about those things in the context of her own life and moving on and wanting those things to be important. So to me, that's, oh, my gosh. I mean, that's where it all starts. You know, we're doing what we can on a more institutional way, you know, to give this piece of the culture to a wide variety of people. But what happens in the home, I think, is central and foundational.
Are your kids following it, or are they do they react to it and say, oh, Mom, you know, we're not interested in that, I want something else?
No, well, I'm fortunate. I think that my kids, they do truly love and identify with it, and so they wait for things. I mean, if I haven't said anything about, you know, when are we going to sit down and make pastries, or when are we going to make you know, what are we preparing for Easter, or whatever it is, I mean, they're ready for it, and they're asking for it. So to me, yes, my kids personally, my 3, I'm happy with. I think they're going to be okay. You know, that's what we hope for.
Are you all taking part in this festival?
My children, yes. So my youngest is 15, and he's dancing with his group. And my older 2 are now both at university, but they're going to be returning to just experience the event here. They're not dancing with groups currently because they're away, but it's a priority for them to come back, and they'll be in Orlando with us in January.
Dance can express aesthetic ideas and emotions as a form of performance art presented to an audience. People also dance in non-performance situations to release energy, express emotion, connect with other people, or just enjoy the feeling of movement. While the art of dance varies across history and cultures, it exists in all cultures. In many cultures, both highly trained professionals and amateurs of all ages dance. As we earlier heard, many people carry on the customs of their homelands through folk dancing and traditionally accompany these dances with the music of their culture. Sometimes folk-type dancers also perform for audiences, as is the case with belly dancing, which originated in Egypt, and Polynesian dancing, including Hawaiian hula, Tahitian otia, and Maori haka. I'm Katerina Badzaiki. Join us next week in another of our Infinite Curious programs of Earth and the Voice of Greece. Meanwhile, it is important to keep in mind that dance may have been used as a tool of social interaction that promoted cooperation essential for survival among early humans, but it never ceases to be a need for the body and soul to tell a story, convey feelings and emotions, and connect with others and ourselves. Showing the way to the heart.